your father then passed away before you were even born.
2 months.
2 months before you were born.
My wife claims 2 years, but I was 2 months.
And your mother was living in Philadelphia at the time you were born?
But she knew Struthersburg and Tucker Benson, who was a partner of my stepfather. And went out to the Barbie Sea in June and came over the White Grass in September. And stayed, well, that year we stayed until Christmas.
Now, was that the year you were born?
No, I was two by then. This is 1919.
Okay, and she came out here then first as a guest?
A guest at the Barbie Sea.
At the Barbie Sea, because she knew Struthers Burt.
Yeah, she knew Captain Burt.
I see.
She knew Tucker Bisson. And I think she fell in love with my stepfather, Harold Hammond. But Harold's wife died in 1935. My mother married him in 1936, a year later.
So that had been a long affair, love affair.
Well, there was a wife in between.
Oh, really?
Marie Ireland, who was a super girl, a great person.
Did your mother meet him at the White Grass, maybe?
Well, the Barbie Sea and the White Grass were very close to connected.
And what was the connection?
Well, there was an organization called it's actually called the White Grass Ranch. Ranches, which I just found out a few days ago, where they all got their guests together, and some would have boys, some would have adults, and then they started the J.O. Ranch, Junior Outfit Ranch down at the Barbie Sea. And these people were mostly, had been friends in college, and that included the Kohler Hollers, Spicer, Prentice Gray, Paul Colburn, Larry Laramie, they went over to Cody. They're all friends in college.
In Philadelphia or in the East?
Mostly Princeton.
Mostly Princeton. Yeah. Well, so then, at that time, in 19, we're talking about like 1919.
We're talking about 1910, 11, and 12.
10, 11, and 12. Okay, and Struthers Burt had Barbie C that early.
Well, he had the JY before that.
All right. Let's go back a bit to he was not the first owner. Joy and
He was the first owner.
Struthers Burt was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they had a fight. It's all written up in the diary, did you?
Mm-hmm.
She wrote in
19. Okay, was...
No, he wrote in 1929.
I've heard that the JY is named that because of Joy and Young. Do you know anything about
it? Yes, they brought out Struthers. And Struthers is very Annie then. He writes in his book, he said, well, anybody that has a ranch in the timber doesn't want a ranch. You need flat. And so that's when he moved down to the Barbie Sea.
Excuse me, let's back up a second, because you're the only person I've ever heard who knew Young. Was Young in the partnership with Joy?
Before that, he was in the partnership with Struthers. Now, I'm not sure about facts, but we can look it up in the diary of the Dudringer, which is here. And he is very insulting to them. But he was writing a book, you see. They never got the answer. Because maybe they didn't like Struthers either.
So that was actually the very first operation. Do you know, like, the beginning date of the... Well, I can find that in the book, too.
Well, no, we started in 1913, and I think... He might have started in 1910 at the JY and then maybe moved over to Barbie Sea before the White Grass.
So Struthers Burt moved over to the Barbie Sea, and was Joy still at JY at that time? And then White Grass started just almost, it's kind of like within 3 years.
Tucker Bisson was a member of that class who went to Princeton. He was a poet. And my stepfather started in Jackson. He was born in Boise. And he was in charge of the horses built in the Jackson Lake Dam. And there were several dams built, but he was in charge of maybe 600 horses. And he was a real cowboy, a westerner. And his partner was a poet. And they made an ideal partnership.
Okay, so Hammond came from Boise, Idaho?
Yeah, he was born there.
And what year did he come in here?
I don't know for sure, but I think about 1910.
And he was first involved with the dam. Was he an engineer? Or?
No, he was in charge of the horses. I mean, most of that dam was built by horsepower. And I understand they had about 600 horses, and he used to night herd them and round them up, and they'd all harness them up and use skids to build a lot of that dam.
So then maybe following that experience is when he bought this, bought the white grass?
No, he didn't buy it. He homesteaded it.
Okay.
With Tucker Bisman. And they got two homesteads here. We have 320 acres. Half being Harold Hammond's and half being Tucker Bisman.
How do you spell Tucker's last name?
B-I-S-H-N-A-N.
Okay. So they homesteaded this when?
In 1913,
and they had 320 acres.
Yeah, in those days, the homestead was 160.
So did they move here at that time?
Yeah.
And were they single? Or?
At that time, they were, yeah.
Just the two of them took up two homes. They both, each one of them, claimed a homestead.
Right. Yeah.
And then did they prove it up right away? Did they move right here and start? They start building and stuff then?
Yeah, a lot of our buildings here are dated back to 1913. Still pretty good.
Which were the first buildings they built?
Well, our main cabin, it's been enlarged about three times, but that was the first building. Then there are about four above. The homestead cabin is the one that burned down. That was the kitchen, a bedroom. Period. We used privies in those days. We had streams that give you water. You'd dig down through the snow and get water in the winter and above it. For many years here, the dudes had tubs
or something?
Tubs.
Yeah.
And our hot water system was a 50-gallon drum with a fire in it. Worked fine. We had no toilets. We had privies.
Well, now they started. Actually, they had to stay here 5 years to prove up, didn't they? And there was something about they had to work a certain amount of land and.
They had to have water in the ditches, and some of the ranches, like Barbie C, would put a tomato can with water in it. And the inspector would come around and said, oh, yeah, I'll see water in your ditch, and they could prove up that way. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. We got water rights, and I have the old water rights permits here. And they had to go well below Kemmer, I think, to prove these things up. And we got our ditch, and they made it all by horse. Of course, dishers, and that ditch is still going.
When they started, was it with the idea of having a duke ranch?
A working ranch? It was a cattle ranch until 1990.
I see. So they just started with the field and bought up some cattle right away?
My stepfather, Harold Hammond, went with the American Army in France, and he was gas. The Germans used gas, so I guess we did too. And in 1919, my mother arrived, and we were the first guests the white grass ever.
Oh, really? So you returned, having been out here, she had been to the Barbie Sea.
Yeah, we didn't come over here until September.
And then came another summer and came up here.
And all the same summer.
And she came with how many children then? Were there?
Four. And I was cut my ligaments, and that's when Dr. Huff came up and sewed them all up by kerosene. Mother was hunting. Sissy Patterson used to be a great friend of hers, and she hunted with Mother. Mm-hmm. We ended up on another book called Sissy.
So that's probably why your mother first came out here, was because of Sissy Patterson?
No. No, she didn't meet them, and she met Mrs. Crabtree. And we never left here until after Christmas. My arm got infected, so she took us down to Castle Hot Springs. This was after Christmas. But we took the old stage over to Victor and took the train from there. It took 2 days. We stopped at the hotel in Wilson, which has since been, they burned it down because they wanted a fire drill. Went from there to Wilson, to Victor.
So you were actually only 2 years old.
Yeah, there's a photograph out in the whole line, this pom-pom on top. My sisters are, all their faces are short. But I'm a pom-pom.
That's horrible.
Listen, that's you.
So then she, why, if it wasn't because she knew Sissy Patterson, why? How did she happen to come out to you at first?
Well, she knew Tucker Bisman. They met out here, and they both liked to hunt. And there weren't too many women that hunted elk in those days.
I'm sure.
Photographs of her, you know, run over an elk hunt.
Really? How did she happen to start hunting at such an early time?
I guess she met Harold, and he took her hunting. You know, they fell in love, and they finally got married in 1935.
Well, so after you came out that first summer, then did you continue coming?
Well, not until I was a teenager. We came out, but I mean, I didn't. My first job here was sort of a sweeping porch, and I got promoted to shoveling manure, and I thought that was the greatest promotion ever.
Oh,
finally, everyone on the payroll, and I was, I guess about 17.
Well, then there was a time lapse between the time your mother met Harold Hammond.
And Harold got married to Marie Allen. In the year she died, I think it was 35, she died in the middle of summer, and Harold called up Mother. I don't know if I should tell this story.
Well, you'll get this back to
I was up in Canada in Connecticut, and Mother headed for Wyoming with my sister. Actually, my sister was working for Charlie Moore in Du Bois. And that was sort of a funny story. Because this elderly man, when my sister worked for us, we had to meet in New York to hold her. And being the oldest man in the family, being 16 or 17, I had to go judge on this man. I said, "What? He's great." And my sister, as any 18-year-old girl, fell in love with Charlie Moore. He said, "We're the most divine man in the world." Charlie was very happily married to Mary, and he couldn't care less. But everybody, you know.
When they were in awe of him.
Oh, no, they all loved him, but he couldn't care less.
So
to this day, 1983, well, my sister thought I was here before that, and said, "Don't you love Jack's Toast now? I like Du Bois Country better."
Oh, isn't
that something? First love is.
Well, so then your mother came out while you were hunting up in Canada?
And no, I wasn't hunting, I was on a canoe trip.
And she spent some time out here.
Yeah, and that when they got married back in Philadelphia.
In 1935.
No, it must have been later. It must have been that. Yeah, maybe it was late 35. Because they went to Mexico on their honeymoon, and I went down there with my sister, another gal, met them in Mexico.
And during that interim, Hammond had sort of developed the ranch here and had started
And about that time, we bought Tucker Bisman. So Harold mother had it.
And so then he had gone out of the cattle business and into the deed business?
No, we always had about 50 head of cattle, but we didn't have enough land to, you know, have a bigger, and we had a grazing permit.
Did you ever have more than 320? Have you ever had more here? It's been there.
But we have a grazing permit at 14,000 acres.
Uh-huh. So you've run about 50 head of cattle.
Well, of course, in the old days, now they've limited me what acres they are. In the old days, my cattle go all the way down the Barbary Sea, and nobody bothered. Mm-hmm. But now they worry about it. Mm-hmm. And it was in the old days of dirt highways and caravan vehicles. Well, the cars were going about 25 miles an hour. Nobody would worry about it. Since it turned by the park, quite rightly. I mean, they let me build grid fences up to Stewart Draw and over to Jay Line, and they want me to keep the horses in there. And it sounds easy, except the moose break down the fence, pulling trees, knock down the fence,
and
the horses still wander. They like to go to the park superintendent's lawn.
Oh, really? Right down to the very root of it?
Yeah, in the park superintendent. There was one superintendent's wife, loved my mare, always stuck her head in the window and rang the bell. And she called me and said, can I drive your horses back? And I said, sure. But we've had some superintendents get quite upset about that.
So Hammond, during that time, prior to your mother's marriage, had started the dude business.
Yeah, but we're the first dude.
And like how many dudes did they have at the time they were married?
We had, I think, three cabinets and a tent. This is 1919. We charged $10 a day, which is pretty expensive by today's standards. $10 a day.
Big money then,
wasn't it? And the good wranglers got a dollar a day, $3 a month. Yeah. And
how many dudes would they have had then in those
back? Big cabins. Maybe 20 at the most.
And what age were you when you? Mother married him.
I think it was 1936. I was 1917, so I was 19.
And then did you move out to? You came summers from that time.
But I went to Princeton until 1938. My stepfather died, and I came right out here. Took over the ranch, and by that time it was 1938, because I was 21, and there was nobody younger than me in the ranch, so I was 40. All the crew was older, all the dudes were older.
Oh, yeah. So you actually started operating the ranch at about age 19?
Well, my stepfather had been a seaman. He was the owner and everything, but I would talk to him every morning. I was sort of saying what to do. Mm-hmm. But I've been stricken with my stepfather's order. To me, he was the finest man I've ever met.
Oh, really? You had a really good relationship with him. That's good.
And he'd ask me for a cigarette, and I wasn't supposed to give him one.
So when you were what age when you were starting to do that? Like 19 years old, when he was still living.
No.
And then he died. What age were you when he died?
I was 21.
21. And then you had...
I gave up college and came right out here. Mother was distraught, and she didn't come back for 2 years.
So did you stay out here those...
Oh, I stayed winter and summer.
Oh, really? And... from that time, then, did you live out here?
Yeah, I went in the Army in August, the Air Force, in August of 41. Got out of it, I think, November of 45.
Oh, so you had a 4-year period. Who ran the ranch during that time?
My mother pretty well closed it down. We'd have old dudes of women come to themselves and come out. She was pretty gung-ho about gasoline. And some of the ranchers got taxis to bring the people up from Rock Springs, if I remember the case. Before then, we were convicted. But I think the big thing didn't learn there. So, there are some taxis that went to pick them up in Rock Springs, you know, and that was unpatriotic.
Oh, really?
So we had some old-time gasoline from there. And I came out of the army there about 10 horses left, all of them asleep, you know, for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a caretaker? You must have had some caretakers.
Yeah, we had... Holly Van Winkle here. And after that we had Shad Hobbs. We had a Silver Fox Ranch. Urban Lesher ran that, but he went down to California to get a better job. Oh, we had some fellow that put rabbits in the Silver Foxes so we could be deferred from the army because he's raising food.
That's
sort of annoying.
Did your mother live out here at all? Did she move out here or did she just come summers?
Well, no, she didn't spend any winters out here. We had a house in Bryn Mawr, but still in those days. When Harold died, she went back there.
So then, through the war years, actually, you were here about 3 years, looking, taking care of it. Then went, you went into service.
Yeah.
And then a caretaker just took care of it. There were no guests or anything.
Well, there were, say, a few guests, old friends. I mean, we didn't have cooks. We had all the cooks. We had Filipinos, and they all went. We ended up president of the bank in the Philippines, and a lawyer. They were great people. In fact, this whole valley had Chinese, Japanese, and Filipinos.
Oh, they
every
did during that time? How did that happen?
Well, the Chinese worked on the railroads.
In Wyoming?
Anywhere there's a railroad. There's always a good Chinese restaurant.
Really?
And we get them out of Salt Lake. And I tried after the war. And it all, Domingo, I think it's Filipino, had big restaurant going in Riverside. Sexto was lawyer in the Philippines. Another one was a banker with it. And I looked him up. I never found him. But in the Philippines, I tried to find him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the name is always the same out there.
So did they come to this country mainly working on the railroad?
Mm-hmm.
And you did? How did you happen to hire them? Was there
every
some
ranch in the valley had Chinese, Filipinos, as good people?
Really?
They were superstitious. They would always keep lanterns, kerosene lanterns, and there was always a light burning. And mother worried about the cost of the kerosene. And Hal said, "Well, you know, they're afraid of the evil spirits." And that. The kerosene.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And they cooked an old wood stove and a hot water system and came out of the steam. The hot water system was a drum on the stove. God, the food was good. And they'd get up at 5 and work at 10 a night.
How many did you employ during the summer?
Usually about 3.
Oh, really? For how many years? And what years did that go?
No, I think they started long before my time, and they're up here. So World War II, until 41.
Gosh,
and we used to take money when she lived back in Bryn Mawr, she would bring them back to Philadelphia. Hmm. When I was sexto, and I got, for some reason, I got suspended from school. My mother was in Mexico with Hal. And I went back to the house and said, "You're going to get like a propensity now being suspended. It's just a crazy education." And I had one of my old money in poker. So I was going down to Bermuda. So I went to this guy and said, I need $5. And when this letter comes from Princeton, you just hide and give it back to me. So Mother never knew I was suspended from Princeton. I didn't tell her no about 2 weeks before she died.
Oh, wow. Where'd you learn poker?
That's why girls are in.
Oh, really?
I made enough money at Princeton and Bridge, but mostly Bridge, to buy Mother out.
Honestly? Just playing poker in Princeton?
Well, Bridge, Princeton.
I had wondered where you were gaining funds at such an early age. Oh, that is interesting. You made big gains then through those.
Well, I'll tell you about my history of gambling. When I was about 6, we were up at the Poconos, my uncle's house. My mother was trying to tell me the evil gambling. I was making good money. I was making 25 cents a week, knowing the money. And we played backgammon. And I won $3.75 from my mother, which is, a lot of money. And about that time, a bolt of lightning hit and hit the lamp right next to us. And she said, "See the evils of gambling?"
That is something. So you started very early on.
Well, I had 3 sisters. Older than mine was. And lived in France for 3 years. And they always wanted a 4th bridge, so I learned to play bridge at 6.
And did you always play for money?
Oh, sure. It's the other way of playing.
Everybody always did play for money. I'll be dang.
Well, in those days, it meant carrying the wood up to the basement. You had to do the bridge jobs.
So it was largely bridge and poker from that early time on. Did you gamble then, like at tables or in joints?
Well, I started gambling in Jacksonville. Only played poker. Mm-hmm. And there was a great guy named Ivar, who was a coal miner from Rock Springs. And he had a sign with his eye like this, and his eye was drooping. He really looked like a villain. But he was sitting in poker, and he'd tell me the two got any shills in the place. He said, "Crank it out." So many years later, I went down. I was trying to borrow some money. And Felix wasn't lonely. Nobody lonely. So I decided to go down to Rock Springs. And I was in line to see the president of the bank down there. And Ivar walks in. He said, "Come on, Frank." He threw his arms around. He said, "I just got paid. We're going on a 3-day drunk." And the president of the bank looked at me, and that was the end of that.
Oh, wow. Well, in college, for what stakes did you pay?
What happened was, I had a partner. He was a pretty good player. And we'd never played with anybody unless they had a lot of money. No sense playing some of this, and I must admit, I didn't do too well in college. I mean, it was fun.
Well, so what were the stakes? Like, how much?
Well, in bridge, we play for 2 cents a point, which now I play a 10% of a point.
Well, so when you bought your mother out, how much money had you saved?
Well, land was pretty cheap. The bark was sold for $15,000. Mother had a $22,000 mortgage on this. I bought this for half of it. I assumed the mortgage. I guess we both assumed the mortgage. And I paid another $15,000.
That you'd made in college?
Yeah. And the Army. I paid the Army too.
Wow. So then.
Gambling pays. Stay sober.
Really?
When I played serious poker, I didn't play.
What age were you then when you bought her out?
Well, she sort of gave me half, I thought, when I went in the Army. And then, the half was in the hole, $22,000. You see, I mean, I was fine. half $11,000. Except Mother didn't have the other $11,000. So I put up $2,000 and then some more to get half. And then Norman Mellor bought out the other half for $45,000. And then a couple years later, I bought Norman Mellor out for another $45,000.
Oh, so he was in partnership for a couple of years?
Yeah. He bought Mother's second half.
Mm-hmm. And what year did she decide to sell?
Yes, Norman. Norman came in. He must have been 49, 50.
And Hammond had passed away in what year?
In 1938.
So she had it about 10 years. She was probably quite relieved to get out of it.
Yeah, and we gave her, you know, 5 acres where she built the homestead cabin. She left that to my sisters, and then I bought it from my sisters.
And then you started operating. You were out of the service and back here and started operating your ranch in what year?
It was spring of 46. I came out in the fall of 45. But all the cabins were leaking. Everybody was selling one of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I built them out of this black fiberboard. I mean, it had a time ago. And still, at that time, plumbing was very difficult to get. I mean, there was great shortage of toilets and pipe and everything.
So at the time you bought in, how many cabins were existing?
Same as now, except maybe 3 less than we have now. We haven't got four.
And then you hadn't really had any carpentry experience, or?
Oh, sure. Well, from the time I was 6, Mother let me charge thing at the hardware store as long as I was building something constructive until the Depression was 1929. About 1930, I can't charge them. Before then, I could just charge, you know, 3 feet of lumber to build a shelf or a builder. Bookshelf and painted purple, and she hated like hell, but she was so nice she put it in her room. Yeah.
So you so had been doing things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so did you just kind of tackle the cabins and the whole thing and put it in shape and get it? What was the first summer you actually ran it?
I ran it in 1938, when I stepped out.
And then after the war, completely on your own. And at that time, how many guests were there?
People stayed a lot longer than to stay for 2 months and you had to take a train out. Mm-hmm. We had about 30. Now we have about 55. We don't want to get too big.
So I imagine a number of your guests now are people who came out there.
Mrs. Matthews has been here ever since 46. Says 2 months. And she's the grand dam of the ranch, and she still knows all the trails that famous don't know.
Have the at that time, when you came back from the service and started running the operating ranch completely on your own, did you have cattle then?
Yeah, we had that 50 days.
And you've maintained
it? Well, what happened after the war, we're building these cabins, and we've been so broke. I have to go down to California working 13 stories up on the scaffolding, insulating the biggest gas tanks. I was working for fiberglass with her. Earn enough money to pay my bills.
In the winter, you'd go down there and work?
Yeah, I'd go down there for 6 months. I went to work for Cookie. He was at a spraying operation, crop spraying. And just before I got there, he lost his third plane.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, when he was spraying sulfur, he had metal paddles, and there'd be a little stone in that, and there'd be a spark, and the plane would blow up.
Oh, wow.
And all I said, you know, but he was going to pay me $1,500 a month or so.
He should, losing three planes.
So he was also the business, one of 7 people that started this alfalfa milling company, where they could take the alfalfa out of the field and chop it up and put the yeast and various things in it and put it in the farmer's barn. Cheaper in the farm, they could do it. Except they had big manuals to take out the horseshoes, but they didn't take them all out, and those horseshoes are these knives and the whole thing. So they're in bankruptcy. I worked there for about a week. I saw the old W-2 form from that, and he went broke, so I went to work for Beverly Nichols as a land surveyor, which water just comes from North California. This is Los Banos, San Joaquin Valley. And any rolling land with the irrigated in this big machine to level it, but we had to survey to level. And these fields would be 6,000 acres. We have to put little stakes every 50 feet where they have to cut or dig to make these things low. And those sand machines come in at 40 miles an hour, and the dust is so thick, I'm trying to dodge them. But in other words, I worked damn hard elsewhere to put the ranch.
So you were out working like 6 months out of the year? For how many years?
About 3 years.
Oh, did you? Because you had just the money that you had invested to buy it, and then you had all the money that you had to put into building it.
We had to re-roof every family and buy horses. I had a cousin that had a big truck, and we went all over Wyoming. And there were a lot of horses that started before the war and hadn't been finished off. And they were 7 years old, never been ridden. And I ended up with a lot of those. And you never could jump them down for days.
Well, you had to learn a lot of things the hard way because you really hadn't had that much experience.
Yeah, but a good person, you could still buy $100.
Were you, when did you get experience with horses?
Oh, God. We used to live in North Carolina, not a pony then, and that was 4 years up.
Oh, so you've always been around them.
And I went all through the horse show business back in the horse show. So the fox hunting business, but know anything about riding the east, riding east.
Yeah.
Fox hunting is a takes more technique than riding a horse and anything.
Yeah.
How people just really.
Do you happen to remember one thing I'd really like to get some information on is the gambling, and I know that from forever, I think, poker games were in the back rooms, you know, as long as Jackson Hole has been in existence. But, and Ruby had the cowboy bar, I guess, before Bingo.
Yeah, Joe Ruby.
And then the Warts, and there was a Frontier Saloon. But I'm interested in, when did the gambling tables come out, and how come they suddenly had roulette?
You know, the worst mistake anybody ever made was Jack Francis, who's a very good friend of mine. And the photographers from some shine paper casper came up to photograph the gambling, and everybody there always done it. The other counties are sort of mad because we were making more money than gambling. Everybody was gambling. It was illegal, but whatever. And Jack Francis pumped this guy and smashed his hammer.
Oh, really?
Which is a no-no. He just said, take all the pictures, have some champagne there, a little crib out back. The gambling would still be there.
Oh,
really? So then, I think Smith was governor here, Nell Smith. But the press was all against Jackson Hole and the gambling. So he sent, Olin Emery was sheriff, he sent him telegram that Owen said, shut up the gambling, and Owen wrote back and said, what gambling?
Wow.
That was true. So then the prosecuting attorney was a guy at a motel in town. They sent him to Washington, so there'd be no prosecuting attorney. But Nels had to do something, so he was going to send him the National Guard. The National Guard really loved the idea. They pulled all the helmets in there. They thought, this is great. So they had to close them down. So it went underground for a while. The work had the snake pit downstairs. And
What newspaper would that have been, and why were the newspapers opposed? Were they just trying to get news?
They were trying to get news, and Kelly was getting an old newspaper. The city newspapers had Casper and Shiner. But they're making more money, and it's more of a big play here in Jackson. Not any of the gamblers were against gambling. It was just... And it wasn't taxable except being an upright citizen like myself, that used to gamble all the time. When we went to music school at the high school, we'd go to the gamblers and say, "Now we need $15,000. And they said, "Why?" I said, "Well, we need a music room in the high school." We get a check the next morning. Let's call it blackmail. And we certainly did it. And everybody was pretty happy with this.
Do you remember how it got started? I mean, at what time or why they
probably started? They've been gambling since way before the pharaohs. I mean,
yeah. But I mean,
winter,
you know, like when did the roulette
wheels... The night marshal was Cy Farron, and he always knew where to find him. He was always playing pharaoh at the cowboy, which is great. At least you knew where to find him.
And he might as well be doing something.
And he lost the biggest ranch in Jackson Hole to gambling. Great guy, the big mustache, and watch, and he gambled over and around. And then my roommate's mother, Mrs. coming in the spring with a big hat and give Cy. Cy was put a pot belly out of here. And his wife was going to sue her for alienation of affection. Because Reed. This is Reed, who led part of the Three River Inn.
Well, did the roulette and the slot machines and things like that, was that kind of started by local people just to attract tourists, or you know, when it got
no,
out
I think
of the
in the
poker?
Old days, no, I remember roulette, slot machines, poker, 21, from the time I was about 15. And we'd go with Cowboy on Sunday, and we had his friend in Blackjack. And he'd give us money to play. I mean, well, he was supposed to be shills. He'd give us $50 a piece. And one deal of car, he'd have 12, 21. And I couldn't catch him. I mean, his hands were so much quicker.
Well,
and we'd all laugh about it, and he'd buy us a couple of drinks, and we'd all laugh broke, but happy. But he'd give us $50 a piece. He said, "No, play me." But all he wanted was some real service.
When did the professional people come in, and why?
Well, I think Wilma's husband, served a prison term because John Burton was buying liquor out of state without paying state tax. And they gave him a couple of months in Alaska. Words.